and it's going to be interactive. So draw your sword. Amen? It's going to be exciting. So get your Bibles ready. So I would expect contributions from every one of us. Our Father, we thank you again. You are awesome in this place. Hi. It's really sumptuous meal. It's so obvious that your banner over us is love. You brought us into this banqueting table and you stuffed it with a lot of good stuff. We've been yummy since Thursday. And today is the grand finale. Father, we thank you. We joyfully and confidently expect marvelous, marvelous, marvelous things today. Our lives will never, ever be the same again. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. So the first question I have here is, what is the church? If you know the answer, please lift up your hands. And please, I would like them to please hold the mic so that they can, those that want to respond can respond. What is the church? Who knows what the church is? Yes, Sister Charity, please.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The church is the body of Christ, the gathering of believers. It could be one or two people, as long as they are believe gathering of children of God, saints. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Does anybody have a different answer? She said the church is the gathering together of who? Of the believers. The gathering together of the believers. Does anybody have a different? Okay. Sister Esther, please. Can we have two mics so that it will be faster? Can we have two mics, one on this side, one on this side?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
What I have to add is, it's a gathering of believers under the leadership of a spiritual head.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. So anywhere the believers gather together, that's a church. That's the church. Amen?
Amen?
So, and you know that they are all over the world. And what do we call them? We say is a what? The church what? Universal. When we came to this country, we didn't know anybody, just my brother and a few people. But then we didn't belong to their church. But when we came and joined this white church at the gathering place, they embraced us like they knew us many years back, because it's one family. So the church is the gathering together of the called out ones or of the believers. If you have ever said yes to Jesus, you are a member of the body of Christ. Amen? So, where is the church located? Where is the church located? Does anybody have an answer? Yes, Sister Imelda.
We are the church. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Does anybody have a different answer? Any different answer other than that? All right. So, okay, Sister Christy.
Yeah, I'll say that the church is universal. Anywhere that children of God gather, that's the church.
Amen. You've already answered it. That's wonderful. That, I said it earlier on. That's beautiful. It's good for us to know, because sometimes when you say, where is the church? They say, oh, it's at Orange or it's at East Orange. We said it's universal. So anywhere they are gathered. So they are all over the world at different locations. The moment they are born again and they gather together, the church is setting. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, how do you become a member of the church? How do you become a member of the church? Yes, Bro Paul.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
By accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The moment you say yes to Jesus, you know, let's look at John 20:20-23 in AMPC, preferably. John 20:20-23. Please, if you have it, you can read for us in AMPC. If you have it, please, you can read for us. Anyone? Okay, go ahead and read. Go ahead and read. Okay. Please use the mic so that everybody can hear.
Praise God. John 20:20, right? So saying, he showed them his hands and his side. And when the disciples saw the Lord, they were filled with joy, delight, exaltation, ecstasy, rapture. 21. Then Jesus said to them again, peace to you. Just as the Father has sent me forth, so I am sending you. 22. And having said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. 23. Now, having received the Holy Spirit and being led and directed by him, if you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of anyone, they are retained.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's also read Ephesians chapter 1:13-14. Ephesians 1:13-14. And someone else should open to Romans chapter 8:9b. We're talking about how do you become a member of the church? So from here we are gathering is that like what Jesus said, those that their sins have been forgiven. If your sins have been forgiven, but there's a way that your sins have been forgiven. So let's look at that, Ephesians 1:13-14. I think I have to. Anyone with that?
In Christ, he identified as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we will praise and glorify him.
Amen. All right. I want to read it in New King James Version so that we can see the steps there. He said there, in him you also trusted after you had the word of truth. Is it possible for one to become a member of the family of God without hearing the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it possible? It's not possible. Do you have any scriptural basis for that? Any scriptural basis for that? For saying no. I can hear you. Hallelujah. Any scriptural basis? What? What? Okay, Romans 10:14. Please open to it. Romans 10:14. Yes, there is. Okay, comment on what you want to comment based on where we read. Go ahead. Before we go to Romans 10:14. Go ahead, Paul. Uh-huh. Yes.
You Gentile, you know, also heard the truth, the good news, that God saved you And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Because you know, some people, they go to church, when you ask them, are you a child of God? Say, yes. How do you know you're a child? Say, I go to church. I say, when did you say? I say, since I was born, my parents have been taking me to church and I go to church. I hear a lot of that in my class. So, and that's what confuses even some adults, because they knew they have been going to church a long time, so they consider themselves as children of God. You must have to hear this good news and then you believe. Okay, read it for us. You don't have it. Romans 10:14. Go ahead. Okay.
But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have not heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them?
So you see what he said? How can they believe in him unless what?
Unless they hear about him.
Unless they hear about him. It's not hearing about God, but hearing about who? Jesus Christ. You have to hear about what Jesus Christ did for you. And then, if you now choose to believe, it's a heart thing. God is looking at our heart. The moment you choose to believe, is a spiritual thing. That very moment, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, washes away your sins. And what happens? God stamps his image. And what is that his image? The promised Holy Spirit. You see, where we read, it said, you were sealed with who? The Holy Spirit of promise. Who is the guarantee that everything that God has, everything that belongs to Jesus, is yours? You are sealed with that seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Amen? So, you must hear this good news and you believe. Somebody can hear and say, well, like some people in my class, so after they have heard and heard, they say, I still want to think about it. Even though they had it, they have not chosen to believe. That means you must hear, and then if you believe is a hard thing, then you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen? If you look at John chapter 1, verse 12, he said, but as many as have done what? Received him, to them he gave the right to become. You must have to receive that right. And what is that right? What is that right? The promised Holy Spirit. To them he gave the right. The seal, the promised Holy Spirit. But as many as have received him, to them he gave the right. If you don't have that right, you are not known as a child of God. Amen? If you look at Romans 8 verse 9b that I called earlier on, it says, if you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, what happens? You don't belong to him. Because that is the seal that guarantees that you are a child of God. Amen? So the moment you have received that seal, you are a member of the body of Christ. Amen? So that's how you become a member of the body of Christ. So how do you become a member? So what is this church? It's the body of Christ. So it's the gathering together of the called out ones. So this is just a local assembly. It's just a local assembly of the gathering together of the called out ones. How do you become a member of this local assembly? Does anybody have an idea? How do you become a member of this local assembly? Huh? If you want to answer, please, can you lift up your hand so that we know who is answering and we'll give you the mic. How do you, yes, Paul?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
By believing in Christ Jesus, I become the body of Christ. And also, this is the body of Christ, the local church where, you know, I can come and worship, you know, because I believe in Christ Jesus. The church believe in Christ Jesus. So I have liberty, you know, to come and worship, you know, where God, you know, has, you know, placed me to worship. Amen.
Amen.
And also believing, you know, in the doctrine that is being taught in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I believe in what? The last thing you said.
The doctrine of the church.
Amen.
The Bible that
Amen.
Is being taught from the pulpit.
Praise Amen. The Lord. Does anybody have a different answer? Yes. Abragulefo. Let them give you the mic.
Before I become a member, I believed in the 21 tenement of the church. Of which
is it 21 or 22?
Okay, 22. Okay. And then if we go through all from the 1 to 22, if you believe in it, then you become a member. Provided that you believe in Christ and you are regenerated by the Spirit of the God that lives in you, then you are a member.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Awesome. Does anybody have a difference or something you want to add? Yes? Isn't your prayer?
For you to be a member of local assembly, mm-hmm. having done what my brother just said, believing in the 22 tenets, you have to be. Two tenants of the church, then you have to make that declaration for everybody to know that now you are a member of this church.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you all hear what he said? Did we all hear what he said? Okay. So what he's saying is that after you have been born again and you have gone through what this church believes in, which we call the 22 tenets of faith, that is taken from the Bible, if you are in agreement with that, then the senior pastor will now have to take you in. You now have to indicate that you want to become a member if you are in agreement. Because if you're not in agreement, you don't have to become a member, because two cannot work together unless they are what? In agreement. We don't want you to become a square peg in a round hole. So, if you now feel that, I think I'm being led to become a member of this church, then indicate that to your Sunday school teacher, and we will communicate to the senior pastor, and we will take you in as a member. Amen? So, you are free to keep on fellowshipping in this church, whether you're born again or not born again. But the day you now choose to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the first step is that you become a member of the body of Christ. And then we encourage you to be prayerful. Lord, is this the church where you want me to settle? Is this where you want me to be fellowshipping? Because God, the Bible said the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. The Bible said, trust in the Lord and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. The Bible said, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The moment the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you, automatically you are a child of God. Then he will begin to guide and direct you. So you begin to pray, Lord, is this where you want me to settle? If you have peace about it, so long as you are not yet convinced, Just keep on attending to these various Sunday school classes, because at the end, it is also your spiritual development. Because whatever is there in the 22 tenets of faith is from the Bible to help you in your Christian walk, whether you belong to this local assembly or to another local assembly. It's all Bible. So you want to grow. You want to develop spiritually. Then the issue now is, which church, local assembly, is the Lord leading you to settle? Because wherever he leads you to, that's where he has prepared things to help you to be all that he has destined for your life. And that's where he will also use you to benefit others, the other members of the body of Christ. So it is something that you have to pray, and God will direct you, because he promised to direct us. Because as the sheep of his pasture, his sheep will always hear his voice, and they will not hear the voice of a stranger. And he will lead you by an inward peace. If you have peace about it to now settle in this local assembly, then you go ahead to settle. That's why every church should have an open door policy. We can only go after someone when we know that that person is not yet born again or is still a baby Christian. But if somebody is matured and feels that the Lord is leading him or her to go to the other local assembly, the only thing we can do is, once we establish that it's a living church, say, oh, my brother, my sister, that's wonderful. To God be all the glory. Because nobody owns the church. The church belongs to him. And he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. He's the one that adds to the church such as should be saved. And he's the one that directs his people. Amen? Praise the Lord. Any question before we go to the next thing? Yes.
One of the reasons that you come and the senior pastor will take you in is that you have to also decide to be under the authority of that senior pastor. You can't be a member of a church when you are not submitted to the authority of the church. You cannot be. God doesn't recognize that, because he told us to be under the authority he has set over us. And then he talks about, he said to the pastors, he said, you should take care of the sheep of God that the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. So one of the things is, when you want to belong to a local church, also understand the implication is that you submit yourself to the authority of that local church. If you stay in a church and you're rebelling against the authority of judgment, and it will come. It's in the Bible. God says, if you rebel against the authority I've set, he said, it's me who are directly challenging, and I'll take care of it. It will come. It does come. So many people don't understand these things, and then they think, some people call me and complain about their pastors. I say, okay, it's your decision to be there. I can't tell you what to do. But as long as you're there, shut up. You can't complain. You cannot. You just submit to his authority and be praying for him. If you think that it's not blessing you, you're an adult. Don't come here. I don't want you here. Because many of them are rebellious people. I tell them, don't come here, my friend. Find another, carry your rebellion there. Because some of them, pastor, I want to, no, don't join. No, no. It's not everybody that wants to come here. I come here, I want to call. I discourage many. I tell them, stay in your church. Even from the pulpit, you make an announcement. Please, after visiting us, go back to your what? Don't we say it? We say it now. Go back to your church. Unless the Spirit of God is, yes, because if it's not a planting of the Lord, it becomes a planting of Satan. He brings trouble here. The same trouble he's making there, he will transfer it. So you don't want that. So you need to understand that being a member of the church also entails submission to the authority of that church. There's no option to this thing.
Amen. For every sheep, there's a shepherd. That's the way God designed it. But Jesus is our chief shepherd. So that's why it is important for you to really choose to make. It's your choice. So by the moment you believe that you have to settle here, then you have to bring yourself under authority. Because when you submit to the authority of the church, you're submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the chief shepherd. And the shepherd of the church, who the Bible refers to also as the angel of the church, he himself has to submit to the authority of the chief shepherd. And if you think that maybe he is not doing things the way you feel it should be done, the only thing you can ask yourself, how much prayer have you been offering to God on behalf of him? Have you been bringing him before God? That God should reveal himself the more to him, give him the boldness, give him the courage, and all that. That's all what we are all called to do. You pray for your shepherd, the shepherd of the church. You pray for the person. But complaining, murmuring, grumbling, it will only expose you. They say complain and remain. Pray, anything that you're complaining and complaining about, you find out that thing lingers on. Then when you learn the praise, you are easily lifted up from there. Amen? The Bible gave us, let's read this scripture before we go to the next thing. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. The Bible said that God gave us gifts in the church. And that gift is in the local assembly that God has assigned us to say. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And thank God we have pastors in this church, and thank God we have a great teacher in this church. And that's part of why we're having this concentrated time of the world, the Living Word Conference. He said, what is the reason? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I don't think any of us has read the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. But that is all part of what we are being taught. Remember yesterday was telling us, if you will ever get a revelation of the fact that there is no salvation in any other in Christ Jesus, whether salvation for healing, salvation for your body, salvation for your pocket, salvation for your marriage, salvation for your job, salvation for your emotion, whatever kind of salvation, it's all in who? Jesus Christ. Amen? No other way. No shortcuts. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, when we submit to the authorities of the church, we are submitting to the owner of the church, and you will be flourishing. Amen? Now, the next question. My time is flying. Who is the head of the church? I think we have already said that. Colossians chapter 1, 18, 19. Colossians 1, 18, 19. Who is the head of the church then? Oh my goodness. Does anybody have it? Colossians 1, 18. Does anybody have it?
Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ.
Amen. So Christ is the head of the church. So if you're a member of the church, Christ is your head. You are just a member. You can be the finger, you can be the arm, you can be the shoulder, whatever it is. I'm just giving an allegory. Christ is your body. I'm sorry, Christ is your head. You are just a member of the body. And he said that in all things he will be the what? He will be the what? It will be the first. So in other words, in every aspect of your life where you have not put him first, you find out that, like what we were taught yesterday, you might find yourself producing an Ishmael there and getting into bondage, and you don't want to get there. So you must make sure that he's number one in every aspect. In what? In what? Every aspect of your life. Whatever aspect of your life, you must make sure that he is the preeminence. He's number one. In other words, it is what he wants, how he wants it, and they're all spelled out in the Word of God. So how does he build his church? So who built his church, first of all? He does what? He builds his church. So how does he build it? Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16, 17. We've already read Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 15, where we said that he gave us some in the church for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. And we are the saints. How many of us are members of the saints? If you are sure you are a saint. If you are sure you are a saint, let me see your hand up. If you are not sure, please, you know, okay, put down your hands. Amen. If you are not sure you are the saint, can I see your hand up so we can explain? If you are not sure you are the saint, Momo is putting up his hand. Amen. Wonderful. All right. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. Before we go to 2 Timothy, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. If you find it to read, because of time.
So now, you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens, along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family.
We are members of God's family. We are fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's family. So, and we have already said it earlier on, how we become a member is that we are what? We give our lives to Jesus Christ. We are born again. Amen? I'm looking for this. Is it that 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy 1, 7, where it says
the reason a lot of people are confused about sainthood is because of the doctrine of Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholics believe that Jesus is not the only way to God. It's not the only way. So they make intercession through who people they call what? Saints. So what they do is people they think have lived holy lives. The Pope will canonize them as saints so that you can now pray through those people. So until the Pope canonizes you as saint, nobody can pray through you. So if I'm canonized as saint, if you're a Roman Catholic, you can now pray to me to now make intercession for you. So once the Pope decides that Brother Mike is now a saint, so now Sandra will be praying through Brother Mike. And all of us will be praying through Brother Mike. You need to understand these doctrines. It is not Bible. The Bible says there is no other mediator that God gave us. No interceding person. No go-between. There's only one mediator. Who is that person? The man Christ Jesus. So if you are adding to that, you are destroying the scripture. And then the reason they do that, they say that the Pope is infallible in the cathedral. So that if the Pope sits in the cathedral and declares anything, whatever the Pope says is even superior to the scripture. That's what Roman Catholics teach, right? Am I right? Come on. That's what they teach. Huh? It's what? Okay, it's not only scripture, it's also Pope. Okay. So he was a Roman Catholic Reverend Father, whatever. So when you come from that kind of background, when they talk of saints, the first of all is to say, whoa, I'm not. But you read the Bible. We are called the saints of God. We are called what? Saints of God. We are saints of God because we have Christ in us. We are saints of God because we are children of the living God. We are saints of God because the blood has washed us what? Clean. We are saints of God because we have the righteousness of God. If you are looking for people who are as clean as God can make it, we are the ones. Because our righteousness is not the righteousness of the law, but the righteousness of Christ himself that has been given to us. So we are saints of God. And don't be afraid to understand that you're a saint of God. When you go to the presence of God, go there boldly, because you are a saint of God. Amen? But we're not going to pray through you. We're all going to pray through who? Jesus Christ. I needed to explain that so we understand the confusion where it's coming.
Amen. The Bible said in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it said, we are what? The chosen generation, the royal priesthood, God's own holy nation. So the Bible even called you a royal priesthood. Amen? So you are the priest. In the sense that Jesus Christ lives in you. Praise the Lord. So talking about building his church again, we said, let's read 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17. We've already read the fact that he put some in the church as pastors, teachers, to equip us the saints, for the equipping of the saints, and we are the saints. If you are born again, you are a saint of God. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. It's not based on your performance. It's because of the one that is in you. And who is that person? Jesus Christ. It's because of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? All right. Does anybody have it? 2 Timothy 3:16-17.
All scripture is inspired by God.
All scripture is inspired by God.
And is useful to teach us
mm-hmm.
what is true
mm-hmm.
and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
It corrects us when we are wrong
mm-hmm.
and teaches us to do what is right.
Mm-hmm.
God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So he teaches us, he uses, you see, each time the senior pastor comes here to minister to us, he has to go by the word. He has to go through the word, because it is by the word of God that we are being built up. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 4. Hebrews 3, 4. The Bible said in Psalm 127, you're going to read it, Psalm 127, verse 1. It said, you know, except the Lord builds, they labor in vain that build it. It's the Lord that builds, and the word of God is what he uses to build us. Read that in Hebrew.
For every house has a builder,
mm-hmm.
but the one who built everything is God.
Amen. So God is the one that built everything, and he uses his word. So, but every house has a builder. And God refers to you and I, the chosen ones, that's those that have said yes to Jesus, as a house that is being built. And that's why he said, except the Lord builds. In every aspect of your life, unless he's the one building it, you're going to be producing Ishmael. And you don't want to do that, because it's bondage, it's misery, it's frustration. Amen? And that's why he told us in Hebrews 10:25, I'm going to read it in AMPC, I have it here already. He said, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. There's always a thousand and one reasons why you might not want to gather. But God has given, I mean, God in his infinite wisdom knows what is best for you. And he gave the gift of teachers. He gave the gift of pastors to help you. And we sing a song that says, the Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is to follow. And he says to you, don't forsake. He said to you, look, I have given the gift of teachers and pastors and apostles, prophets, to help you. So, all we have to do is, if God ever said it, I will just follow. And I leave the result to him. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. Who will always lead you in line with the word of God? Who will always lead you in line with the word of God? Let's look at John chapter 16. Verse 7 and then 12 to 15. I will still prefer AMPC. Who will always lead you in line with the word of God? Does anybody have that scripture? I want you to quickly turn to where we call, because I'm not turning to it. I depend on you to read. Go ahead. Anybody that has it, please read for me. Who is lifting? That's why I pulled my scripture, but I didn't this time. This is Sunday school. Yes, go ahead. And it's only Paul that is reading for me. I want others to please be reading. Go ahead. AMPC. 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 I said, John 16, 7, and then 12 to 15. John 16, verse 7. It says, however, I am telling you nothing but the truth. When I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the comforter, counselor, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby, will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. And did Jesus go away? He sure did. And did he send the comforter? He sure did. Amen. Now let's look at verse 12. He says in verse 12, I have still many things to say to you, but you are not able to bear them or to take them upon you or to grasp them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth. He will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. There are so many things as a child of God that you need answers to, some decisions, but you have the one that is in close fellowship with you if you're a child of God. And who is that one? The promised Holy Spirit. He's in close fellowship. That's why the Bible said in Romans 8:14, but as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And he will lead you by an inward pace. He's in close fellowship. He's your helper. He's your standby. There is no child of God that is supposed to be living in confusion. There is no child of God. Every child of God is designed to be flourishing. If you're not flourishing, something is wrong somewhere. And it is not God. You better check it out. It is not God. He gave you his Spirit to be in close communion with you, to direct you, so that even when you get to a roadblock, if the simple man-made GPS will redirect you, how much more your sweet, sweet, sweet Heavenly Father, who is crazy about you, crazily in love with you. The Holy Spirit will direct you. So that if you jam and say, Lord, where did I miss it? And then you start listening inside, because he's not up there, he's in you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So you listen to what he's telling you here. And he will beam the light by the inward pace. And the moment you take it, is all course correction. Longest day you live as a child of God, all you need to do is just to keep on, you know, getting a revelation of what God has already finished for you. We are singing a song, for all you will yet do. I say he has already finished doing everything. There's nothing that is yet to do. When we say, Lord, do something new in me, what else is he going to do? He already gave you Jesus. So the only thing you need to do is to get a revelation of what you have and who you are in him. Amen? So longest day you live, all you need is more and more revelation. And I thank God that the prayer group, they keep praying for us for the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and understanding of what we already have. We have all that pertains to life and godliness. He's not yet to do anything. He packaged everything and stuffed it in you in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else to be done. It's a done deal. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. So please distribute the envelopes. We are going to be praying at 10:15 for the Sunday school offering. All right. So we said that he's the Holy Spirit. There are other scriptures. You can read 1 Corinthians 2:11-16. You can read it. He said, you know, let's read that 1 Corinthians 2:11-12. I think I have to read it. 1 Corinthians 2. Please get your Sunday school offering packet. Please, if you don't have it, don't bother. I know about it and I prepare for it. There's still going to be the men's service offering. 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
For what person knows the thoughts and motives of a man except the man's spirit within him? So also no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world.
We have received not the spirit of the person that is living in you. It's not the spirit of the world. It's who?
The Holy Spirit, who
the
is from God.
The Holy Spirit.
So that we may
know. The Holy
know
Spirit, who is?
From God.
Who is from God. God the Father sent him into you. And that is the seal that guarantees that you are a child of God. Go ahead.
So that we may know and understand the wonderful things freely given to us by God.
So that we may know and understand the what? The wonderful things freely. Freely. Everybody say freely. Say it again. Say it again. Freely given to you by God. But that you may know and understand. So longest day you live as a believer, all you are doing is studying, fellowshipping to get to understand what have already been packaged and given to you. God is not doing any new thing. It is you that will be discovering the things that God has already done. And each day you discover it is like a new thing to you. Each day you discover it is like a new thing to you. But it has already been. The day Jesus finished for us on the cross, that's the day it was all finished. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So that's one. So you see, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit that will be producing those things through you. But your job is just keep fellowshipping. And if you love yourself so much, you see that prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17. Pray that prayer for yourself. Pray it for your family. The day the senior pastor did that for us in 2009, when we had the watch night service, I marked it on my wall. And I've been praying about it. I can't tell you revelations upon revelations upon revelations upon revelations that God has been bombarding my heart with. If you seek, you find. If you ask, you receive. It's all there for you. Amen? So, and then the next thing is, what experience is so crucial following salvation for a believer? What experience is so crucial, is so important to a believer after salvation? What? Holy Spirit baptism or the baptism of the Holy Spirit? That is so, so very crucial as a child of God. Amen? Let's look at Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. I will want it in AMPC. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Okay, it says in verse 8, but you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. He said, but you shall receive what? Power. God has already poured out his power, the power of the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost. So our job is to desire it and to receive it. It's already made available. On the day of Pentecost, he poured out his spirit, and those that received it first then, they prayed in tongues, there was boldness, and as many as will choose to receive him, the same will also happen to him, to them, that you choose to receive. So, if you are not yet baptized with the Holy Spirit, if you are not yet filled with the Holy Spirit, I am guaranteeing you, you will be a very weak Christian. You will be a yo-yo Christian, powerless Christian, if you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I thank God for the insight of our senior pastor when he called me and said, look, as Sunday school teachers, you people must make sure that the moment somebody is born again, they must have to know about the Holy Spirit baptism so that they will be filled. And that's why we thank God for our beloved, Pastor Ezanya. And he's now helping us so that we keep on making that announcement. If you are not baptized in the... How many of you want to know more about Jesus? You want deeper revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There are two things to it. Is it that you are not baptized with the Holy Spirit? Or you are baptized with the Holy Spirit and you put it in your pocket. You don't even care praying at all in the Holy Spirit. You don't pray in the Holy Spirit at all. If you pray in the Holy Spirit, maybe once in a while, you don't give him attention. Those are the two reasons. Because the more you pray in the Holy Spirit, the more you receive deeper and deeper revelation of the... When you open up the Bible, you say, wow, God is like shining deeper and deeper light to you. Based on the word of God. If you pray in the Holy Spirit a lot, I'm guaranteeing you that, because that has been my experience. And I saw that experience in my husband, and I began to follow his footsteps. And it's working for me. Before we continue, let's pray over the Sunday school offering. Let's pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sorry, please. Let me have my bag. The Lord. So the Bible said in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18, Ephesians 5 18, I'll still want that in AMPC. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18.
And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with Holy Spirit.
Amen. So he said, do not get drunk. So, in other words, he said, for that is debauchery. What does that mean? What does that mean? The English measures. What? A reckless life. Amen? So what is he telling us there? We should be drunk with the Holy Spirit. So those that are drunk with wine, you know what they do? I think I've shared this before. You know, somebody that was living, a family that we knew, in fact, it was my colleague at work when I was working at UNN Medical Center. And this guy rides a motorcycle to work. So one early in the morning, I think he got drunk. He was always in the habit of getting drunk, but thank God, finally he got born again and God delivered him from wine. But you know, this particular day, he fell inside a gutter that was just across my house. And you know, usually I wake up early in the mornings to sweep the compound before, you know, getting ready to go to work. And this man was there, and I had some people talking around that place. So I crossed over out of curiosity to know what was going on. And this man was inside the gutter with his motorcycle on top of him. And he was just saying, he said it in Igbo, "Binite, binite ba, amachi siemo no ni ilanya." What he was saying is that if I should dare get up from here, I'm going to slap the hell out of you all. Who needed help? He was the one. And yet he was the one that was saying, if I should get up from here, I will slap the hell out of you all. That's the influence of alcohol. And then the one my husband told me about, somebody that was driving, holding his bicycle, and he was going like this and jammed the electric pole. And he said, you people, when you're walking, you should be mindful of where you're going to. He was talking to the electric pole. Then he said, you people, when you're walking, you should be mindful of where you're going to. And then the other one, he told me about his roommate that got drunk and came back and took his bicycle and laid it on his bed, covered it with blanket, and went inside the wardrobe to sleep. And they were looking for him. Amen? So, see, all these people, were they in their proper frame of mind? Who took over? Alcohol took over. God wants your life to be taken over by the Holy Spirit. And that's why he said, be drunk with the Holy Spirit, so that the life you live will be life in the Spirit. And it comes as you constantly pray in the Holy Spirit. See, don't neglect that you have if you have already been filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Jude. Jude 20. I want it in AMPC. Jude 20. Okay.
But you, beloved, build yourselves up the foundation of your most holy faith. Continually progress. Rise like an edifice higher and higher. Pray in the Holy Spirit.
So how do you rise like edifice? Higher and higher. How do you rise like edifice higher and higher? Praying in the Holy Spirit, and as you're praying, I don't mean just, you're just rattling something. Just pray in the Holy Spirit. Lend your tongue for the Holy Spirit to pray through you. It's something you do with the Holy Spirit. You find yourself receiving deeper and deeper revelation of who Jesus is, of who you are in Him, and of all that has been made available for you in Christ Jesus. Every day you open up the scriptures, it's like, light, more light, more light, more light. So that's why he said, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Your greatest desire as a believer should be to be endued with power from on high by being baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, I beg you, get filled with the Holy Spirit. The qualification is what? Once you're born again, that's all. When you get born again, you receive the Spirit in a measure. But when you now get filled with the Holy Spirit, it's to overflowing. It begins to show all over you, because deeper and deeper revelation, you find yourself living more and more in line with the Word of God. You find the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit more in your life. Amen? So then he said in verse 21, he said, guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. Expect and patiently wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, which will bring you unto life eternal. Guard and keep yourselves in the love. How do you guard and keep yourselves in the love of God? Because the love of some people have waxed cold. There's no more drive, enthusiasm in the things of God. They are kind of complacent. What do you think is the reason? They're not praying in the Holy Spirit a lot. They're not fanning the flame like Paul encouraged his son Timothy. Say, fan the flame. How do you fan the flame? You pray in the Holy Spirit a lot. Praying in the Holy Spirit, you pray a lot. If I thank God for my job, you know, when I sit, I back the wall, and then I'm just doing my job with the computer, and I'm doing. When I get to the bathroom, most times I pray in the Spirit, or I'm snacking some good stuff from the Bible that I already put in my card, in small cards. Sometimes in the kitchen, I'm doing stuff and I'm doing my hair. You gotta do it if you wanna grow. It's awesome. God gave you what is the best for you, but you're not making use of it. Build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God as you pray in the Holy Spirit. Because the more you're discovering what God has made available for you, like we did yesterday, the more, Daddy, I love you so much. So these are the, oh my goodness, Daddy, I thank you. Keep yourself in the love of God, praying in the Holy Spirit. God will keep on revealing more and more, and you find yourself, nobody will be pushing you to go to church. Nobody will be pushing you to study the Bible. That, like Paul was saying, I beg you by the mercies of God, present your body a living sacrifice. You said, Lord, anything you want me to do, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I want. As you want it, Daddy, just have your way. Because every day you're discovering more and more of his love for you, and you can't help but love him. We love because he first loved us. But when you discover those love, that's that love, his love for you, that's when you embrace him totally. The Bible said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father, the love of the, not the love for the Father, the love of the Father, 1 John 2:15, the love of the Father is not in him. That's, in other words, this person doesn't understand how deeply he's loved by God. It didn't say the love for the Father. It didn't say you don't love the Father much. Because you can't love him without first of all discovering how much he loves you. The love of the Father. He doesn't know how deeply he's loved by the Father. That's the problem. If any man loves the world, if you're craving for the things of the world entertain you and give you, you give it your 100% attention. The love of the Father is not in you. The moment you understand how deeply the Father loves you and what he has made available for you, like Paul, you say, take the world. You say, I count them but dung. You begin to focus more on him because you are discovering more and more. I thank God for this, my brother Anu. This boy can't get enough of God. Every day is like you are seeing him. The one day, you know, he just said, it's now over. And this boy began to say, I'm going to grow. I'm all out for Jesus. You see him on Wednesday. You see him on Thursday, on Sunday, and early. It's like he's yawning, and he say, wow. That's what happens. The moment you begin to discover, you want to give more time. You want to give more time. You want to give more time. Our daddy is so sweet. Amen? All right, so The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness because we don't know how to pray as we ought to. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 26. You can read that for yourself. Sometimes things overwhelm you that you don't even know what to pray about. You don't know how to begin to pray. Then you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit takes over. So is the benefit, let's read that, Romans chapter 8, verse 26, so that nobody thinks I'm making. Let's read it in NLT. NLT. If you find it, you read, please. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Okay, go ahead. Mm-hmm, go ahead.
You see.
Okay, let him use the mic so that others will hear. Go ahead.
And the Holy Spirit help us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us.
We don't know what God wants us to pray for. Go ahead. Even concerning matters about our lives, about our children, about our jobs. Sometimes you don't know. You think you know, and you zoom out and you start praying. Go ahead.
But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings.
He prays for us with groanings.
That cannot be expressed in words.
That cannot be expressed in words.
And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will.
Amen.
And we know that God causes
everything. That's okay. So you see, God gave you this ability, but you have to choose to receive it. That's being filled with the Holy Spirit, but being baptized with the Holy Spirit. As you begin to pray in other tongues, you lend your tongue and the Holy Spirit prays through you with groanings that cannot be uttered for those things, and then you find answers coming to you. So it's a great privilege, and it's something that you have to choose to make use of because it's there for you. The Holy Spirit is there for you to receive. I'm talking about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's a matter of choosing to receive that. Praise the Lord. All right. And you don't need to wait. It's something that you receive right away. There are scriptural evidences of people that received the moment they got born again. If you remember the house of Cornelius, the same day they got born again, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, and like I said, the qualification is that you're born again. What is the difference between Holy Spirit baptism and water baptism? There are so many baptisms. They say being baptized into Christ. What does being baptized into Christ mean? You get born again. That's what it means. You're being baptized into Christ. In other words, you become a child of God. Okay, what does, you know, water baptism mean? Huh? If you know it, please, you know, put up your hand. Our time is up.
Water baptism symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yes, as you publicly identify you what you did inside, because the born again thing is a heart thing. God is interested in your heart. The moment you say yes to Jesus, you are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, your sins washed away. But then nobody knows, because he's still the same you, the same complexion, the same height. And God said, Jesus told them, go and, you know, get them born again, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when you now believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you go and declare, see what happened to me. I died with Christ. They put you in water. And every dead person gets inside the water. And then I'm buried with him. In the name of Jesus, I resurrected with him in glory. Amen? So, but the Holy Spirit baptism is the empowerment, receiving the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that guarantees that you have received is you speak in other tongues, and there is this boldness. Amen? Our time is up. Our Father, we thank you, we worship you, we bless your name. Father God, you continue to grant to us deeper and deeper revelation of those things that we shared and many more things that we were not able to get into. We give you the praise and we thank you for answered prayers.